46. In Beijing, news of the events in Tibet was filtering in, and a hurried meeting was held. President Jintao was direct. "What are our options?" he asked. "We could send bombers to hit Lhasa," the head of the Chinese Air Force said, "then ready paratroopers for a later assault." "But that leaves us short on the Mongolian border," Jintao noted. "What's the latest intelligence on the Russian movements?" The head of Chinese intelligence was a short man with a pronounced belly. He adjusted his glasses before speaking. "The Russian forces are enough for them to sweep down and flank our troops that are currently still headed down the pass into Qinghai province. If they supported their efforts with air power, we could lose both Qinghai and Xinjiang provinces, basically the entire western frontier." "That would give them control of our secret advanced weapons facilities at Lop Nur, plus a good portion of our space program," Jintao said wearily. "I'm afraid so," the head of intelligence noted. "Okay," Jintao started to say, before his aide rushed into the room and walked over and whispered in his ear. "Gentlemen," President Jintao said, "continue discussions. I have an emergency meeting. The Russian ambassador is insisting we talk and has arrived ahead of his scheduled meeting." The Russian ambassador was waiting in an outer office. He rose as Jintao walked into the room.
"Mr. President," he said solicitously, "I apologize for moving up the time of our meeting, but the president of my country insisted I see you immediately."
"Do you come bringing a declaration of war?" Jintao asked directly, motioning the Russian to take a seat on a couch near a window with a view of the outer gardens. The Russian ambassador sat on the left end of the couch, Jintao farther down on the right.
"No, Mr. President," the Russian ambassador said, straightening his suit pants. "I come with a business offer that can put an end to the tension between our countries, as well as placing your economy on solid footing again."
Jintao stared at his watch before answering. "You have 5 minutes." The Russian ambassador explained it all in four. "So you are convinced you can pull a UN Security Council vote?" Jintao said after he was through.
"We can," the Russian said.
"What do we get if we go along with the vote?" Jintao asked. "If China votes to go along." The Russian ambassador smiled.
"World peace?"
"I was thinking of a larger percentage of the field." 2 minutes later, the Russian had his offer.
"Mr. President," he said, "allow me to make a telephone call."
"Tell them I want your armored column stopped immediately," Jintao said. "Confirmed by satellite reconnaissance." 8 minutes later, the new percentages would be confirmed, and the Russian armored column would grind to a halt. Further negotiations would continue right up until the UN vote. At the same instant the Russian ambassador was calling Moscow, the C-130 containing the corporation team was crossing into India. Off the right wing, the jet carrying the Dalai Lama home passed. The pilot of the jet wagged his wings, and the pilot of the C-130 reciprocated. Less than an hour later, the team reached Calcutta, India, and was met by the corporation's amphibious airplane. Within minutes of the C-130 touching down, the crew was being flown out to the ship. By sundown on March 31st, the Oregon was steaming south in the Bay of Bengal. On the deck, Hanley and Cabrillo watched the setting sun.
"I got a call from Overholt after you left Calcutta," Hanley said.
"I'm sure it was the usual," Cabrillo said. "Rah, rah, good job, the check is in the mail."
"He did mention that. And a wire transfer that Halpert has already confirmed."
"What else?" Cabrillo asked.
"He has another job for us," Hanley said.
"Where?" Cabrillo asked.
"The land of the midnight sun, Mr. Chairman," Hanley said. "The Arctic Circle."
Cabrillo sniffed the salt air, then began walking for the hatch inside. "Come on, you can explain over dinner."
"It'd better be dinner and drinks," Hanley said. "I haven't had a cocktail since Cuba."
"Cuba," Cabrillo said wearily. "Seems like years ago."